Gracious, majestic Lord, we just ask that you be here, that you open up your word for us to speak to us afresh and anew, that we may know what you are speaking to us clearly. And Lord, help us to respond in kind, so our response to you may be clear and profound. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. So as Glenda and has the worship team and Paul been sharing with us today, we are in the midst of Psalms. We are looking at Psalms, and over the weeks we've looked at some various Psalms, and you'll notice that if you follow along, that they have been looking at various aspects of our human condition and our response to God and what that means, and God's response to us. Like the first week, we had a look at Psalm 34, a psalm that is reflecting on God's deliverance, even in difficult and tough times, even when David, who's the writer of the psalm, King David, has to actually pretend he's insane in order to get through. Last week, Paul gave an awesome message, one that was very profound, and looking at Psalm 88, a psalm where it's a reflection on suffering and darkness in hard times, and actually just sitting there in the pit, often the pit of despair, thinking about that. And it's a psalm just kind of sitting there. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 8, a psalm of praise that reflects upon the majesty of God and the value of humanity, each and every one of us. And I love how it is that we can actually sing this psalm, and like, because psalms actually are intended, well, a big proportion of the psalms are actually intended to be sung. Now, we don't always get the meter or the rhythm right, or we're singing them in English, we're singing them in our translation, we're not singing them in Hebrew, and so we don't quite get the same kind of feeling of it. But Psalm 8 is a song of praise. It's a prayer of praise. And ultimately, when we look at this, and I'll just put up the first verse for us up on here, and what I'm going to encourage you to do right now is, if you've got your Bibles with you, get out Psalm 8. So, because it helps us just to reflect and respond. If you've got the Bible app on YouVersion, whatever, get out Psalm 8. Pick whichever version you want to read it in, because they have slightly different language and nuances about our language that we use, our English. And it helps us actually reflect on that. But it says for us in Psalm 8, and it says here, just in verse 1, but the little intro to this, and you'll notice that this is a psalm that is meant to be sung, because it goes, for the choir director. These are the little annotations that are there in the psalms that help us understand what this is about. So it is for the choir director, so it's saying, this is actually something we need to sing together, all together. A psalm of David to be accompanied by, and you know, for, and we'll put it out, it's on the screen here, the Giddith. Now, many people actually, you know, translators are going, we're not particularly certain about what that actually means, Giddith means for us, but it ultimately is, it's kind of uncertain in origin, but it basically relates to a musical instrument. And it's there to be kind of like a stringed instrument. So good that it was played on the guitar. So you're kind of just right into the depths and realms of actually working with Psalm 8 here. And it just, it's meant for us to be singing it. How often do we actually sit and read the Psalms and sing them aloud? Anybody do that in the quiet of their study as they read a psalm? It brings a different meaning to it when we add the music. When we add the, you know, the rhythm and the melody to it, there's a, you know, and when I first heard Psalm 8, the majestic Psalm 8, it kind of just stuck in my head, and I've been all this week singing that, you know, oh Lord, how majestic is your name, just in my brain, and it just kind of just sits there and it just gets you going, doesn't it? But Psalm 8, interestingly here, so if you look at this first verse, it's on the screen, you should have it in your Bibles with you. First verse, it starts with this. It says, O Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. This is actually really interesting, because in the Psalms of Praises, and we have a few Psalms of Praises here, This is the only psalm of praise that starts off and is entirely addressed to God. So this Psalm 8 is a psalm that is sung to God and God only. You'll often see in other psalms of praise, such as Psalm 95, it says, and I'll just read it for you, "Come, let us sing to the Lord." Notice that the psalm is addressing us. "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him." So the start of the psalm is addressed to us so that we may come and sing praises to God, whereas Psalm 8 starts right smack in the middle of praising God with no direction to us as the people. Or if we go to Psalm 107, just interestingly, Psalm 107 gives a direction to the congregation, the people that are listening to it, on how to respond. And it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." So what do we do? The psalm is telling us we've got to give thanks because he is good. And it goes on, "His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you?" So there's a question. So asking, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out, tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. So they've got the directions there on how we respond. But Psalm 8 sits in this space of being the only one that just goes directly to God and is just there to be praised. It's a song of praise. It's not telling us how to do it. It's just welling up from us. It's welling up from David, who is the writer of it. It takes us straight into the presence of the Almighty from the very beginning. But then what it does is it moves us into a question of contemplation of what does it mean to be in the presence of God, praising God, and poses this wonderful question. And we find it here in Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4. So have a look at Psalm 8, 3 to 4 for us. And it says this, and let me just read it for you so that we can kind of embed it into our minds. "And when I look at the night sky and see the works of your fingers, the moons and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them?" So David goes from, first of all, praising God, declaring his name, that he is majestic, his name fills all the earth, talks about how we teach our children, our infants, and tells of the strength of God in front of all people. And then he goes, "As I look up into the night sky, I have this question. Who are we in the midst of all of this?" It invites us to contemplate on the grandeur of God's creation. But it also invites us into contemplating on the incredible value that God has placed upon each and every one of us. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever managed to sit out in the outback of Australia, just quietly in the midst of nothingness kind of there? My first placement in the church was in Broken Hill. I think I've said to you as a church, I must have done something wrong because they sent me as far as I possibly could while keeping within the state. But it was a wonderful place. And when we were there, Joshua, our oldest, our firstborn, had trouble sleeping at night. And so what we would do, we'd drive to another state to help him go to sleep. Which is not hard to do in Broken Hill. But in the middle of the night, when you drive out of the bounds of the city lights, you start to see the grandeur of the night sky. And every so often when we'd go out and drive out and stop and have a look, you'd stop the car, you'd turn the headlights off, and the sky would just come alive. Now, what I've got here is Annette and I had the opportunity to drive around Australia, and we're sitting here just outside of Winton in Queensland. It wasn't the best night's sleep, I have to tell you. Bush rats tend to make a mess of things. So this is a place that was just full of bush rats. We were going to spend a couple of days here, but we ended up not moving on. But we're sitting here and the sun is setting, and we've set up dinner. We've got dinner there. We're just sitting down by ourselves in this what we thought was a beautiful open plain until the rats came. And the sun starts to set and go below the horizon and you get this beautiful colours coming up. Awesome and amazing. And if you spend a little bit longer, you get the stars just coming out. This is all taken at the same place. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that as you sit there and you wait and you see, is you see the grandeur of all of the stars. They're not clouds, they're stars up there. And, you know, further on our trips, we also got to see other places and night sky and amazing. That's just down near the Grampians in Victoria. But I want you to think and contemplate for a moment. And this is the thing. When you sit in a place like that and you see the grandeur of the universe and the galaxies and the stars spread out amongst you, there from horizon to horizon, do you stop and think and go, how awesome, how amazing is God? You know, when we're sitting there and just contemplating, you know, I have to admit that my brain goes, oh, that'd be a great photo. And that sometimes takes me away from just the moment of sitting there because you're going, oh, I've got to go and get the camera. I've got to set it up on the tripod and just because I want to capture the moment. Jared's smiling because he goes, I know that feeling, isn't it? There are sometimes you're just going, I'm just not going to put the camera away. I'm just going to spend and just sit. And that's the thing. When I sat and just reflected upon this, it's just reflected upon how amazing that each of those God has placed into the sky. And what the psalmist is saying here, what David, King David is saying here, is that each and every one is reflecting upon his time sitting there, and I would dare say he's actually reflecting on his time as a shepherd, sitting back because he's out tending to the flock. He's not necessarily sitting in his kingly palace looking up at the sky with the lights there. Because when the lights are there, you don't see everything, but when he's there by himself with the sheep as the shepherd, looking up, he'll see all those skies. And he's reflecting on that God not just flung them into space, but he placed them carefully, delicately. The Hebrew actually has his hands, his fingers, and put them into the various places, the specific point. He contemplates on the majesty and the beauty and the sheer power that God has. It's a reflection back into the story that we find in Genesis of God just speaking into life, the universe and all that would be there. The stars and the galaxies are not just randomly placed, they are purposefully placed by our Creator. It's not a random chance of nature. It is a beautiful creation. So when I was sitting there out in the outback, bar the bush rats, sitting there and looking up at the sky, I'm just kind of going, God, you're amazing. This is just absolutely awe-inspiring. And it helps us to recognize that God is the authority over all of creation, of all of that. But I love the flow of this psalm. I love how David puts it together and he goes, I'm looking up there and I'm seeing the grandeur of God and this amazing thing. And then it gets him in the midst of all of that to have the stark realization, here I am. I'm small and I'm insignificant, but how is God there for me? I'm humble in my place. Let me put it on the screen for you. And just for you to share with yourself. Look at verses 4-8. After he's had a look and said, the work of your fingers, in place there, the moons and the stars, you set them in place. And then he goes, oh, what are mere mortals? What are human beings? What are us that you should actually even think of them? human beings, that you should care for them. Not even just know and observe that they are there, but that actually care for them. You've made them a little lower than, you know, in this translation I've got on the screen. Well, actually, that's the question. I'll leave it there because we'll go into that a little bit further. It really just gives us that question. Even though there's vast differences between God and ourselves, God is actually intimately involved in our lives. God actually understands the smallness of our life in the grand scheme of things. You know, when Glenda was talking about about each of those galaxies and the age of those galaxies that we're looking at, the light coming back from them to us, how small do you feel when you're talking in billions of light years? How much do we measure our life in? And we think about all of this and the grandeur that God has, yet in all the midst of this, God gives us attention and care. We live near an amazing beach, and I love the illustration that the Bible often gives us around, you know, how important we are, that, you know, God knows this, each and every one of us. It'd be like counting the number of grains on the sand of the beach. Have you ever walked along Mona Vale Beach? How many people have walked along Mona Vale Beach and by the time they're finished, do you walk with shoes on or with bare feet? Bare feet. Awesome, awesome. Why would you walk with shoes on the beach? There you go. I'm glad you said it, not me. But you get back to the car and what do you have? You have sand in between your toes, stuck to your feet. And they're stuck there. Think on this for a moment. In the scheme of things, we are like one of those bits of sand stuck to the bottom of your foot. But God knows each and every one of those grains of sand. Just he knows each and every one of us. Thinking in the grandeur of all of that, God has, for each and every one of us, an importance and a close relationship with us. The vastness of all of this doesn't mean we're insignificant to God. It just means he has a caring that is so much bigger and broader than we can possibly even comprehend or imagine. And when we contemplate on this, it kind of reminds us what is said in Matthew 10, verses 30 to 31, and it says this, "And the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." So where do we get that? Why do we think about that? When David has been talking about that, he goes, "You were made little lower than a God," or sometimes it gets translated as angels, Elohim, heavenly beings, "and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made and put all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals." Reflecting back to the creation story and God placing humans in the center of creation and giving them authority over all of creation. But it also reminds us that we are more important than each of those. You know, God knows all of this. You are more valuable to God than any flock of sparrows. And that's kind of thinking into the temple offerings and the peace offerings that we have, the sacrifice offerings, and it's just going, you are more valuable to God than any of those things. You, not the sacrifice. You are more valuable. And Jesus reassures us that our value to God illustrates his meticulous care for even the smallest aspects of all of our lives. For those of us that still got hair in our heads, we think about each one of those. I'm being told I'm going a bit thin up the top. But we think how God has numbered each of those and what it means for us. Let me share and leave you with the last of the part of the psalm and what it means for us. It means that we can live with confidence. It means that we know that God has already got there. He's already done it all. He's already paid the price. We shared communion today. And that's a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. It's a remembering of his sacrifice for all of us, that we may have that connection with our God, our Creator, our awesome, majestic God. And we have that individual relationship with him. But God deeply cares for us. It reminds us that even though we might be in the pit, even though we might be struggling, or that we might be praising God because we are in an amazing, awesome space, that God cares for us. So are you able to, as the final verse says, are you able to praise God and say, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, your majestic name fills all the earth"? Is that the song of your life? Is that where you come from? So I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And because we've heard the song once, we're going to sing it again. We're going to really put it back into our brain and let this go. Let us sing praise to God. Let us marvel at the wonders of God's creation, and let us realize that we are special in God's sight. Let us sing and praise to God. Let us stand again and sing Majesty, Psalm 8.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As I look up at the heavens, the moon and all the stars, what is man? You remember us. When I look up at the heavens, moon and all the stars, what is man that you remember us? Son of man, that you would visit us. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Creator of the starry skies, crafted by your hands, what is man that you remember us? Creator of the universe, crafted by your hands, what is man that you remember us? Son of man, that you would visit us. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You made him a little lower than Elohim. Crown him with glory and honor, placing creation under his feet. Creator of the starry skies, crafted by your hands, what is man that you remember us? The Son of Man, that you would visit us.